Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Welcome back. It's the Midday 180 served up by Wendy's here on 104.5 The Zone. We're broadcasting live from the Logo Brands Warehouse Cell. It is a cornucopia of gear here today. It is amazing looking out on this warehouse floor. They are doing a lot of business. A lot of people here right now. It's a two-day cell.
I was over there looking at the MTSU gear again.
I need to go check some things out here in the next break. It's tough to get over those. There's a big Tennessee section here also. It's tough to get over there and back in time. It's an expansive space.
It's like the size of a Walmart.
And we made it about a quarter of a way across this place.
I found a sweet used Orioles garbage can I'm thinking about getting hunting.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
Yes.
47-115. Commemorative edition over
That's
here.
That's what it'll get you.
As you put the record on the garbage can, I wonder if that would sell that.
It's the 11th annual warehouse sale. It's going on today and tomorrow until 6 p.m. today and then 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. tomorrow. Those are the only 2 days that you can take advantage of this warehouse sale. 117 Southeast Parkway in Franklin. You can use the promo code warehouse sale when you visit logobrands.com to receive 45% off. And you can order things online here and receive free shipping. John McClain joins us. John, I haven't seen the Baylor Bears represented, but I'm sure they're here. And we could grab you some gear and ship it your way if you'd like.
Look on the bottom and then the back once you get to the bottom, and that's probably where it is.
Okay. Well, we haven't even made a full lap yet. We don't have enough time.
If they beat nationally ranked Iowa State tomorrow, then they might kind of move it more to the middle.
John McClain with us. John, we've been debating how much of a chance the Titans have in this game against the Patriots. Just going into it, what do you think overall about New England and how they match up with not just the Titans, but any team in the AFC right now?
They've won 6 games in a row. They're the best team in the AFC. They've survived that slow start. It's hard to believe. They got beat bad at Jacksonville. But the way the Titans played at Dallas, that should give people hope. I mean, they're not invincible. You know, they throw the ball, of course, to everybody. It's hard to cover. When Gronk's been out, they've been unbeaten. They're still, I believe, in this winning streak, they're averaging like 36 points a game. So their offense has become prolific with Julian Edelman returning after his 4-game suspension. So they've ingratiated Josh Gordon into the offense, into the passing game. Their running game's good enough, but they're going to lose again at some point, I would imagine. I don't think they're a 14-2 team, so why not lose to the team that's got the Titans are playing great defense?
Did you see the Belichick mic'd up?
No, I read about it, but I didn't see it.
I mean, there were a couple moments. His interaction with the refs was good. He was congratulating assistant coaches after it was over. But they showed, strung together during that Packers game, his reaction to each Patriots score. And that reaction was absolutely no reaction. But, I mean, it's kind of amusing to watch, but again, it brings back this feeling of joylessness. Like, it's so hard what these guys do. And in that moment, I just don't understand why there's no happiness.
I think the only time Bill Belichick is truly happy is after he wins the Super Bowl. They have set such a high standard with their excellence going back to 2001 that he just suffers. And I don't think he actually suffers after a win, but I think as soon as it's over, he's thinking ahead to the next game and will let the players and assistant coaches celebrate. And it's kind of kind of sad that he can't, but that's his personality. Maybe when he gets behind closed doors, he's popping champagne and jumping up and down and thrusting his arms in the air. But I think the Belichick that we see in situations like that is who he truly is, and I think that's one thing that makes him such a great coach. I've never known anybody else to react to success the way he does unless it is the ultimate success.
Phone lines are open. If you want to jump in and talk some NFL with John McClain, 615-737-1045, 737-1045. John, how about the Pittsburgh Steelers? And now the fact that Le'Veon Bell is coming back to a team that seemingly has now hit their stride. What do you think about that whole situation?
I think he's going to be a huge distraction when he comes back. He may need a week or two of practice. Maybe he's ready to go. He's been working out in Miami. I'm sure he knows that he's going to be under the microscope and he can't afford to have a hamstring or a groin pull because he's been out so long. James Conner's in concussion protocol. I have no idea if it's serious, but if Bell comes back right when Conner is injured, that would be tremendous for the Steelers, of course. But I'm stunned by that game last night. I thought Carolina, which had lost two games and was one game behind New Orleans, would play so much better.
Let's go to Luke on line two. If you'd like to join John McClain, you can jump in at 615-737-1045, our number. What's up, Luke?
I just wanted y'all to kind of, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I just wanted y'all to touch on the Logan Ryan, Julian Edelman matchup this week. I feel like that's going to be a pretty fun matchup to watch.
Well, Logan Ryan's been excellent. He got turned around on the one deep pass in London early. And outside of that, it's hard to find fault with how he's played this year. And he's played starter snaps outside in base as well as solid slot snaps against some good players. Been very effective. And he knows Edelman.
How much did he, and you know this, Vrabel mentioned the Beasley matchup last week a lot. For Logan Ryan, and he went to Logan Ryan and challenged him. Logan told us about this, and he played him well. Beasley ended up with, three catches?
Three catches for 16 or 13 yards. I also think the Cowboys played into it because they were trying to force some other things.
It's true.
Partly to prove that they're trading a number one for Amari Cooper. They wanted to prove in 1 week that they made the right move. But of the concerns I have in this game, I don't think they're going to get shredded by Julian Edelman out of the slot. I feel pretty comfortable with that matchup.
John,
can you guys, let me ask you something. Y'all give me an update on Malcolm Butler, please.
Well, he's the third corner. He comes in, into nickel playing outside. He's given up, is it 7 or 8 touchdowns? No other defensive back has given up more than one. They're talking to him about remedial stuff, about the eye discipline. And John, I think he's caught in this kind of circular thing where aggressiveness is what made him the player he is. Aggressiveness is what people are using against him. I think he's looking for a big play to kind of get out of it. And in looking for a big play, people are using that aggressiveness against him, and round we go.
Well, you know Tom Brady will be trying to exploit that when he's on the field.
Absolutely.
When you see the happy face on our truck, you'll be smiling because you'll know that you're in love.
Take advantage of a free service call with any repair.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
104.5 The Zone is your home for Titans football. Titans football. And you're home for Titans Ticket Tuesday. Sponsored by Coca-Cola. Tune in for chances to win during the Wake Up Zone, Midday 180 and 3HL. You could be at Nissan Stadium this fall thanks to Coca-Cola. Titans Ticket Tuesday from the official station of the Titans. 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. John McClain is with us. We're looking ahead to week 10, this Sunday's games, plus Monday night. Sunday night football this week is Dallas at Philly.
big rivalry, but you got to get out of that game if you can.
John, what do you think about that?
After the way the Titans swamped the Cowboys at home, I fully expect Philadelphia to do the same thing. And if they do, it wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't pull the plug on Jason Garrett as he did when they were blown out in a game and Wade Phillips was fired right after Jerry said there would be no midseason coaching change.
Make for some intrigue. It's about the only way to keep the Cowboys interesting right now.
John, the only reason that he would not fire Garrett is because people believe, and you would know this, people believe that this is the closest that Jerry Jones will get to actually coaching an NFL team. It's the control he has over Garrett, over compared to other coaches that he's had in the past. Do you buy that?
No, because he really likes Garrett. Garrett's a very popular guy there among the media. And he's the fans and the media, too. They realize after 8 years, it's time to make a change. The only reason he would not make it during the season if they continue to lose is because who are they going to promote? Offensive coordinator Scott Linehan, who's the most criticized person next to Garrett, or maybe their first-year defensive coordinator Chris Richard, who came from Seattle. He would seem to be the only one that would be even remotely qualified. And people wonder now, will Jerry Jones go out and try to get someone he can control, a coach who's been out of work, a young guy who doesn't know what he doesn't know, or will he go out and try to get someone who is the best qualified to take over the Cowboys? And his son Stephen has a huge influence on his dad when it comes to making coaching hires. Now, Stephen didn't wield as much power when Garrett replaced Wade Phillips like he does now.
John, we know what Pittsburgh is doing in the AFC North. Cincinnati, they sit at 5-3, and this week they host New Orleans. The Saints coming off that big win against the Rams at home. They're 7-1. Do you take the Saints on the road in the AFC in this one?
I took the Saints because they've won seven games after losing their first one, and they've looked really good offensively. Maybe they have some kind of letdown, but the fact the Bengals have a winning record should get their attention. And right now, I'm not picking against the Rams, the Saints, the Chiefs, the Patriots, unless they play each other, because they are clearly the four best teams, with Pittsburgh closing fast in the AFC.
Jacksonville at Indy, both teams coming off a bye. The Colts are at 3-5. Their offense puts up 28 points per game. Jacksonville spiraling going into their bye week at 3-5. Which team leaves Indianapolis in that matchup with a victory, and how badly do the Jags need it just to keep their locker room together?
That'll be the Colts. They've won their last two. They rushed for more than 200 yards in each game. Their offensive line has been tremendous lately. Andrew Luck has only been sacked 10 times this season. And so they got it going on, and the Jaguars, I think, are in danger of imploding, and they're going to go from first to worst.
You think it's kind of perfectly telling about both teams that Jalen Ramsey, given a chance to speak about Andrew Luck a while back, ripped him? And that Andrew Luck, given an opportunity to retort lately, pumped up Jalen Ramsey?
Oh, of course he did. And then he's going to take it out on him, too, because Luck has been great. He's been really good the whole season, but they have cut back his attempts, just like the Texans have cut way back on Deshaun Watson's attempts. Run the ball more. Don't make the quarterbacks throw so much and risk turnovers and injuries. But I think Luck's going to light up Ramsey because he's been getting lit up a lot.
John, the Packers have a losing record, but they're undefeated at home. They have the one tie at home this year, but they're undefeated so far. They now host the Dolphins this week in a game that looks like a must-win right now for Green Bay. What do you think about the matchup?
Well, it's a must-win for Miami too, Chad, but I don't buy into the Dolphins at all. I haven't all season, even though they started 3-0. I watched the Texans beat them 42-23 here on the Thursday night football. So I think Green Bay is going to bounce back, and the anger they felt from being embarrassed at New England, they're going to take it out on the Brockster and the Dolphins.
It's time for Green Bay. If it doesn't turn around this year,
how much trouble?
Guys, I'm a big proponent of change after this year.
Yeah, how much trouble is McCarthy in?
Nobody knows for sure. The new GM, Brian Gutekunst, has been there his entire career. And, you know, it was Jim Mora who talked about a shelf life of an NFL coach is about 10 years. Then it goes in one ear and out the other. You know, McCarthy changed defensive coordinators, got rid of Capers, brought in Mike Pettine. So I don't know. I think how Aaron Rodgers feels about McCarthy and their relationship and the confidence in the strategy will play a role. I think if Rodgers absolutely does not want him out, I'd just be surprised if they moved him out.
615-737-1045. Our number, Brian, is next up for John McClain. Brian, welcome in, and thanks for calling the Midday 180.
Hey, what's happening, boys? Hey, you know, allow me to kind of disperse for a second. John, you brought up hope earlier, and hope is a dangerous thing. In life, hope is a great thing. It gives us something to wake up, look forward to. It gives Paul the hope that he's going to get over his whooping cough one day. But in sports, hope is a dangerous thing because we can look at a score one week and get our hopes up, and then the next week get them totally dashed. Case in point, the Chicago Bears. Last week, they absolutely trounced the Buffalo Bills. Trubisky has a great game. But, John, we've been through this before with quarterbacks in the past. Is Trubisky the guy, and is this the year that the Bears finally get over the hump with the Packers underperforming so much? Y'all have a great weekend. I'll talk to y'all later.
Thank you, Brian.
That's an interesting thing. But remember, hope is better than hopelessness. You know, without hope, there'd be no popularity of sports because everybody other than the Browns fans go into a season hoping their team is going to make the playoffs and turn it around. But I tell you this, they believe in Trubisky. They believe in Mike Nagy. Based on what they've seen of Nagy and his play calling, and their defense is good. I think Pace needs one more off season. And then they're going to be right up there with the Vikings. And I'm guessing the Packers. It's amazing, I think, to all of us that the Packers are under 500 at the midway point of the season, especially with that stat that Chad pointed out that they have won all their games at home. So I think yes, if you're a Bears fan, I thought it would be next year before they would be good. But, you know, they've been good and they're competitive, and everybody loves the defense.
John, the Seahawks went toe-to-toe with the Rams last month. Now they're on the road. The Seahawks are visiting the Los Angeles Rams, who just suffered their first loss of the season last week. How does that game go? That is a 3:25 kickoff on CBS with Jim Nantz and Tony Romo.
I think the Seahawks secondary is going to be exposed. Rams are going to bounce back from their first defeat and win this game handily.
Oh, handily. See, I don't know where Seattle's headed this year at 4-4.
Yeah, I think they're headed for a losing record and, of course, not making the playoffs.
First time this year we're going to see the Rams have to battle back after defeat. So that'll be a first. A game they lost.
The way they rallied in that game at New Orleans last week when they were blown out and they came back, showed me a lot. They weren't able to pull it off, but man, oh man, they came back with a fury, and that makes me think they're going to do the same thing from the defeat.
John, what are you doing on the bye weekend?
I've been working every day, and I'm going to have a big Sunday story. It's on our website, and I've tweeted it a couple times about how the Texans were able to go from 0-3 to 6-3, first time that's been done since 1970. And then I'm writing a column after the Titans play the Patriots and the Colts and Jaguars play, about looking at the Texans and ahead over the last seven games when they get the three division teams at home. And I'm hoping the Titans win. Like, I was glad they beat Dallas. People are like, how can you want the Titans to win? I said, because, number one, I hate the Cowboys, but I want the division to be even better. I want to see a rivalry, and I've always wanted to see Houston and Tennessee good at the same time so they could finally develop a kind of rivalry they should have had since the Texans became a team.
Could make for an interesting matchup on Monday night in a couple of weeks, Titans and Texans, if the Titans get things rolling here over the next couple. John, thank you.
Thank you guys very much. Have fun against the Patriots.